world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you caught me smiling because I was kind of reminiscing as I was listening to the opening, hey, pass the salt, remembering when that thing was put together and how long ago. Well, you know, I've been doing this kind of, I don't want to call it broadcasting, whatever. I've been doing this for a long time. I really started in 2000, just kind of doing it as started it. And I've been doing it pretty much ever since. And to just sit and think of how many, oh my goodness, how many tables I've flipped over and how many people I've upset and not really being my intention, just speaking the truth. And now you'd think every time I walk down those multimillion dollar studio over down that escalator over there, you'd think I'd run out of things to talk about, wouldn't you? But it's amazing. And I just thank the Lord for it. It's a gift that I'm just so full of stuff to share with you today. It's amazing. It's amazing. But I have to say something else before I do. Again, those of you who are watching maybe on a platform, maybe you're watching on Facebook, maybe you're watching on the Patriot Party News Network, maybe you're Rumble, a lot of places that people are watching Coach Dave. If you really want to interact with us, if you want to be one of the people, you say, how do you raise your hand? How do I get in there and say what I think? You have to go to CoachDaveLive.com. CoachDaveLive.com and click on Join the Queue. And when you do that, you get the exact same broadcast, but then you become part of the, you have the ability then to interact. See, I hate.
World's on fire. Our culture is just.
I like talk radio, give and take radio. By the way, I like talk Christianity, give and take Christianity. I like that. That's how we learn, right? And the opportunities to do that aren't, I mean, they're just not real good. Through most podcasts I watch sometimes, I wish I could stop them and ask a guy a question, right? But you're not able to do that. But here at Coach Dave Live, we're able to do that. And then we have what's called an after show. After show. When we shut down, then sometimes we're in here literally for an hour, just discuss with each other. Now, these are my friends. I've met over the years that we've been doing. These are my friends. And so we have a discussion. We just talk. We just talk. And Bob says what he thinks, and Brett says what he thinks, and Aaron says what he thinks. We have great dialogue. We don't always agree, but it's all really, really good. And we have become friends in the huddle. So if you're watching saying, what's he talking about in the huddle? And why? How does he get Betty in here all the time? Well, Betty's joined at CoachDaveLive.com. And of course, all the shows are archived. You can watch them later, and they're for free and all that kind of stuff. But I was kind of overwhelmed yesterday because in the after show, I began to talk a little bit about kind of my vision for Sky High, which is our apartment, our property next door. I don't want to build a church. I don't want to be a church. We're not a church, but I want to begin to gather people together in something called Saturday Night Live, not church. I want to draw people from different denominations, different spiritual backgrounds, no spiritual backgrounds, draw them together, get them together, and we'll worship the Lord together, and we'll talk about, we'll dialogue. We'll do Coach Dave in the morning, Coach Dave Live with a bunch of people in the room. It'd be awesome. It's going to be really, really good. We'll get to know each other. We'll strengthen each other. And so I just kind of said yesterday, I need a place to do it. I think I said that in the after show. I don't think I said it in the, I don't know, maybe I did a little bit. But Mel calls me, Liberty Mel says, hey, I got a place. We went out to look at her place last night. Wow, beautiful place. We can start doing Saturday Night Lives at Liberty Mel's house. But I want to tell you something else that would absolutely blew me away. And I, of all people, should know this. I was unbelievably humbled by the people that I heard from yesterday. I don't even know. Some of them I don't even know. I don't even know who they are. said, hey, coach, I'm good at this. Hey, coach, I can do this. Hey, coach, that concrete, I do concrete. Hey, coach, I can do this. It humbles me. It humbles me. Dan Bukowski said, hey, I got a month off. I'll come out there. I'll frame up that building for you. And I'm guilty of what I accuse others of, and that is not recognizing and using other people's gifts. And hey, look, folks, one of the hardest things you have to get when you do what I do, one of the hardest things that you have to do is to get over your pride when it comes to asking for help. I've been in so many churches where they just bombard you with tithing and taking your money, and I'm just sick of it. Because I'm sick of it, I have a hard time saying, hey, could you help me out here? Could you help me out here? I have a hard time doing that. Now, I know I can call Steve Deck, and Steve Deck will paddle a boat out here to come out here and help. And Mark Trump would do the same thing, and Joe Allen. And I could just run down a litany of names of guys that could do that. I can do it. But like always, it's hard for me to ask. I don't know why it is. I don't know why it is. Because some of you can't wait to exercise your gifts. You want to be plugged in. You want to be involved. So I'm humbled. I'm humbled that so many of you out there are willing to help, and that sometimes my pride gets in the way and don't let you help. I don't let you help. I don't let you plug in your gift. Because I feel like, oh, geez, he didn't want to come all the way up here. Or he got to come up here for a week and work and all. I don't have, right? You know, woe me. And you're sitting out there saying, coach, plug me in. I want to advance the kingdom. I got this skill set. Plug me in. Randy said, coach, I'll come out and lay that concrete. You tell me whenever. So I apologize. And I got to get a group of guys together who know what they're doing and help Steve Deck and me pull this whole thing together. So I just want to say up front, you guys all humble me. And I also want to say this. There are people who are in the queue. By the way, folks, again, the queue are the people who log on at CoachDaveLive.com. That's how you get in the queue. It's not by, we don't invite you in. We get a lot of you in here if you want to. But we know each other. We get to know each other. And people say, hey, coach, have you heard from so-and-so? You heard from so-and-so? You heard from so-and-so? Checking on one another, right? And here's always my responsibility, my response. Well, why the hell don't you call him? What do you want me to do it, huh? You miss George? Call. Does your phone work? Call him. Don't ask me where he is. Although I know. I know, because I make phone calls too. So I just want to encourage you all that I am humbled. We're going to get that daggone thing built. And we're going to start Saturday Night Live. It's all going to be good. And I just want you all to know how much I appreciate you out there. The Lord's really prompted me to pull up Matthew 10. I want to read a good patch of the scripture this morning, if it's okay with you. Matthew chapter 10. And where I got this, by the way, was from, what's his name? Anthony. What's his name? Thank you. Who'd name your kid Oliver? Huh? Well, no, that's an awful thing to say. Who would name him Oliver if your name's Anthony? You'd name him Joe Anthony, wouldn't you? Or Tom Anthony, Oliver Anthony. Anyway, sorry, Oliver. And I was watching his video, and he did something that really, really prompted me. And I just want to do this because the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the soul and the spirit, dividing the soul and the spirit. By the way, yesterday at Thomas Worthington High School, I explained that soul, spirit, body, all that kind of stuff. It was really, really good. And it was amazing. I had two classes there. It was the most quiet group of students I've ever had. And I don't know whether they were overwhelmed, underwhelmed, whatever. I mean, usually when I bring up the topic of abortion, I got to get a bodyguard to get out the door from the women. And there was almost like no response yesterday. And I really think there was no response because I made my argument so clear that they didn't really want to go there. So just bear with me here, because I just think this is really, really good. This is Matthew chapter 10. You can open up in your own Bible if you want to, and there's different versions of it. I like the King James Version. I just always do. And there's a I got so much other stuff to give you. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits. See, folks, I tell you, I'm never going to get through this, Lord. I'm just not going to get through this. You don't read the Bible to get through it. When you read the Bible, it should prompt you to ask questions. When you read, if you're really reading it, Bible, the word says to meditate on it. Meditate. Think about it. Meditate. When he called unto himself the 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits. I want to stop right there and say, what the heck does that mean? I could study right there, not go any farther. He gave his disciples the power against unclean spirits. I mean, there must be unclean spirits. Must be. He gave them the power to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. What happened there? He gave them that power? How come I can't have that? And the name of those 12 dudes were Simon, who's also called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, Zebedee, James's brother. And he had Philip, and Bartholomew, and Thomas, and Matthew, the publican. What's a publican? And James, the son of Alphaeus, Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. Wouldn't you like to go back and study the son of Alphaeus? Who's Alphaeus? And who was that? Who were these guys? Matthew, huh? See, we skip all over this when we read the Bible, don't we? Scrolling down, we're verse 4. So there's, I think that's probably the only time, I could be wrong. I think that's the only time in the whole scripture you hear who the 12 disciples were. And Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Judas will be forever stuck with that idea, won't he? And these 12 Jesus sent forth, and he commanded them, saying, go not into the ways of the Gentiles or into any city of the Samaritans. Don't go there. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Dude, Vinny, boom! Israel has some lost sheep. Evidently, just being a Jew doesn't make you sacred and holy and righteous. A lot of them are lost, evidently, because that's where he tells them to go first. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. See, I could preach right there. The kingdom of heaven as versus heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And by the way, when you go do that, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you receive, freely give. Hang on. Was that just for today? Or that day? Healing the sick and cleansing the lepers and raising the dead? Was that just then for those 12 guys? Nobody else? Nobody else? Jesus would never ever give those gifts to anybody else, just those 12 guys? He said, don't worry about your gold or your silver. Don't worry about any money. Don't worry about any of that stuff. Why? Don't worry about your script for your journey. You don't need two coats. You don't need shoes. Nor yet stays, for the workman is worthy of his meat. In other words, those who share the gospel live off the gospel. That's the premise there. People are going to provide it for you. Randy's going to come out here and do my concrete for me. Guys are going to come and frame it up. Dan's going to come out and frame it up. You get it, right? If you're doing the Lord's work, the provision comes. The provision comes. And in whatever city or town you enter, ask, who is it that's worthy? Don't just go get in some hotel. Find out who's worthy. Go stay at their house. I'm going to tip my cap again to all the people who open their house to me when I travel. Well, thank you for all that. I'd much rather sleep in your house than in some hotel that two men were having sex in the night before. Are you with me? Nobody knows what went on in that room the night before. And when you come to a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it isn't worthy, see, there you go. Not supposed to judge, right? Evidently, there are worthy houses and not worthy houses. Let your peace come upon it. And if it's not worthy, get the heck out of there. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you leave that place, kick the dust off your feet. Quit worrying about it, man. Get out of there. It's good advice, isn't it? We're going to get into the nitty-gritty here. Hang on. Verily I say unto you, it's more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Man, oh man, oh man. When you carry the gospel to people, you carry the gospel to a city, you carry the gospel to a group, and they reject it, he says you wipe off your feet because it's going to be unbelievably awful for them because you warned them and they didn't want to hear it. Okay? Now here we go. He says, okay, boys, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Hey, beware men. That's the script. I can preach right there, baby. But beware of men. Why? Because they're going to deliver you up in their councils and they're going to scourge you in their synagogues. They're going to eat you alive in their churches. You keep doing that kind of stuff, you're going to move from the church, then you're going to be brought before governors. When you get to the point where the church rejects you, they're going to take you to the law folks. They're going to take you to the government people. That's what Jesus is telling them. You're going to be brought before governors and kings. Hey, for his sake. You are sacrificing yourself for his sake. And it's going to be a testimony against them. And the Gentiles. But when, not if, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given unto you that same hour what you shall speak, for it isn't you speaking, but that Holy Spirit inside of you speaks. Wow. If you don't go and you don't open your mouth, God cannot speak.
Amen.
Man, that's powerful, isn't it? And the brother, okay, now watch. He's going to show you the consequences now of being a disciple of Jesus. He's going to show you, right? He said, and you know what's going to happen? Brother's going to deliver up brother to death. What? Yeah. Brother against brother. The father and the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. They don't hate you. They hate me. You're carrying my name. They're going to hate you. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Evidently, not everybody's going to be saved. Evidently, not everybody in church is going to be saved. Only those who endure to the end. But when they persecute you, hey, not if... Betty, not if, when they persecute you in the city, get out of there. If I'm telling you the truth, you will not be able to get through all the cities, just in Israel, till the Son of Man shall come. Ooh, I preach there. I take you a different direction, but I won't. Because the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. And it is not enough for this disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. For if they have called the master of the house the devil, how much more are they going to say that about you? Fear them not, therefore. Who? Those folks are going to scourge you and call you names. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of the FBI. Biden's monkeys, don't be afraid of them. Because there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, you better speak it, baby. And not only should you speak it right out in the light. You go right out there where everybody sees you and everybody hears you. And while you hear in your ear, that preach you upon the housetops. What's the church telling you? Don't do that. Don't, who are you to judge? Tolerant, diverse, love, 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 love. Jesus is telling you just the opposite, folks. He's telling you just the opposite. And fear not them which can kill the body. But they're not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. Your real enemy is the devil. His minions. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, What is a farthing? Probably a dime. And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. Man, oh man. The very hairs on your head are numbered. Friends, not counted, numbered. He doesn't say, boy, you got 1,238 hairs on your head there, Joe. No, no. He says, Joe, you just lost number 8. Hey, Joe, number 28 just fell out. They're numbered. That's how intimately he knows us. Fear ye not, therefore, because you are sure more valuable than sparrows. Let that sink down on you. You mean to tell me the Lord's going to send you out to war and is going to desert you? Nah. Because he knows what spirit, he knows the number, he knows the bird when it dies, it says. He knows it. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. He said, you ignore me, I'm ignoring you. I ain't telling my dad about you. If you have the chance to stand up for me and you don't do it, I ain't even going to talk to you about you to my dad. But so whoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Why? Because Jesus is the mediator. He's the defense attorney between you and the Father. He said, I ain't going to fight for you. You won't even stand up. He said, don't think that I came to bring peace on the earth. No, baby. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. Because I didn't come to make everybody know that I love everybody and they love me and we're all just one big happy family. No, that's not why I came. No, no, no. I came to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. This is if you are doing the will of your father. If you're doing the will of your father, this is what's going to happen. And you sit there and you say, I don't know if I ought to say that. If I say that, I'm not going to get to see my grandchildren anymore. If I say that, I'm not going to say that. And he says, well, then, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. So in other words, you're not going to speak to him because you love him more than me? Is that what you say? Is that what you're saying? And he that loveth your son or your daughter more than me? Sorry. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me, he ain't worthy. Pretty heavy, isn't it? Because he that findeth his life shall lose it. Wow. To find eternal life, you got to lose this life. And he that loses his life for my sake is going to find it. And he that doesn't receive you, I'm sorry, and he that receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Scroll down, please. And he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. See, they tell you it's not a works gospel. Are you guys following this? They tell you it's not a works gospel. This is all works. And whosoever shall give to And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no way lose his reward. Folks, this is works. Now look, you don't work your way to heaven. It's by grace, through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But works are evidence of salvation. This is living out your faith. It's how people know you're a believer. And if you do those things, No matter what they say to you, what they do to you, no matter how many years they lock you in jail, no matter how much they beat you, no matter how much stuff they take from you, you shall in no way lose your reward. That's 25 minutes of truth right there. Unbelievable, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a works gospel, boys and girls. Sorry. It's a works gospel. I wrote today. I don't know if I'm going to take the time to read it. Maybe I'll take time to read it tomorrow. I want to show you something that just absolutely blew my mind this morning. I'm trying to find it over here. Pull up number one. Pull up number one, Spencer. It says number one. You guys, are you guys, this is what we're dealing with here, friends. You guys, why is Judas famous? Do you, anybody know why Judas is famous? Somebody, come on, Betty, I saw you.
Betrayed Jesus.
Why is that?
Judas Iscariot, he betrayed Jesus.
He betrayed Jesus. He betrayed Jesus, right? A lot of Judas Iscariots out there. One of the real stars of the Republican Party right now is this lady from, what's her name? Where's she? Somebody help me out here.
Christy Noem, the
American conservatives' new darling. See, folks, I don't know if you know this or not. Men love pretty women, so she gets a lot of votes from men because she's pretty, and she's pretty, and she makes herself look pretty. She could be on Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover, probably. She's very, very pretty. But I want you to listen to this. This is a conservative Republican, which I assume means Christian. I'm not sure. Talking about hate crimes legislation. Now, hang on. Hate speech. This is what she wants to do. Go ahead, play it.
I know in South Dakota you've got a bill, I think it's a new bill combating anti-Semitism or reaffirming old bills. Could you just tell us a little bit about that because it's such an important issue?
Hang on a minute. Why is it such an important issue? Who says it's such an important issue? What is the important issue? I got to say it. Clay, I got to say it. I'm sorry. I don't have to say it. It's going to involve those people that we all bow to. Go ahead.
Semitism is such an important issue. Examples that we put in statute that will be used as model legislation in every other state to make sure we're defining what a hate crime is and that we can prosecute those who engage in it. It really is the strongest language in this country to push back on some of what we've seen for hatred being spread across this country since the October 7th attacks. So I was devastated to see some folks in this country be uneducated and some maybe purposefully stand with pro-Hamas and attack our allies Israel.
Hang on a minute. So I don't care. I have no position on this. But they want to make it, if you stand with pro-Hamas, whoever, whatever that means,
it's a hate crime, baby.
Go ahead.
In the Jewish community. So this bill we signed into law today in the rotunda of our Capitol, we had hundreds and hundreds of people there. It was amazing to see the unity and the support. We have one of the smallest Jewish communities in the entire country, but we dearly love them and stand with our allies and are proud to sign this bill that I believe many, many, many other states are going to use because it gives them strong language that we can win in court and prosecute those who engage in hate crimes.
Congratulations on that. We appreciate
God. Yeah, congratulations on that, right? Huh? Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, is there any hate crime legislation against Christians? Anybody heard of any of those? Any hate crime legislation against Christians? How about, is there any hate crime legislation against killing little babies? Any hate crime legislation on that? No. Oh, but boy, you mentioned that J word. Oh, Christy Noem and this guy, they're all on the same team, man. We got to make sure nobody ever says anything bad about the Jew. I'm just telling you, it's right in your face. Right in your face. Now, you want to get a fight going. which you just read about. Take that one on. Take that one on, right? They're going to scourge you in their synagogues. And you're going to be brought before governors and kings. You ain't allowed to talk about that, baby. You ain't allowed to bring that one up, huh? No, 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 no. In fact, we're going to make a crime. So hang on a second. I'll get you in here. Number two. What the heck is hate crime legislation? It's unbelievable, right? The term hate, folks, this is a federal law. Hey, Betty, you have any idea how many people hate me?
Quite expert.
The term hate can be misleading. This is the government. When used in hate crime law, the word hate does not mean rage, anger, or general dislike. No, no, no. In this context, hate means bias against people or groups with specific characteristics that are defined by the law. Can somebody unpack what the hell they just said? You can't say anything against, gays, bisexuals, transgenders, and now Jews. Can you say something against Presbyterians and Methodists and Lutherans and Catholics? Yeah, you can. Oh, hell yeah, you can do that. You can do that. At the federal level, hate crime laws include crimes committed on the basis of the victim's perceived or actual race, color, religion, national origin, sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability. In other words, you can't say anything mean to anybody. Because everybody falls under that, don't they? And most state hate crimes laws include crimes committed on the basis of race, color, and Judaism. Oh, it doesn't say that. It says religion. Christianity, you can say whatever the hell you want to about Christians. You can call it Christian nationalism. You can have the government actually oppose Christianity, and that's okay. You know, hate there. Wonder why they hate Christians so much. Anyway, the crime and the hate crime is often violent crime, such as an assault, murder, arson, vandalism, or threats to commit such crimes. It may also cover conspiring or asking another person to commit such crimes, even if the crime was never carried out. So that's a thought crime now. It's a thought crime. You thought about doing it, but you didn't do it. You thought about going into the Capitol, but you didn't, right? And of course, it's a hate crime because you hate Democrats, right? And you hate Democrats because there are blacks in there, and you hate blacks, and you hate Democrats because there are women in there, and you hate women, and you hate Democrats because there are illegals in there, and you hate illegals. Do you see where this goes, friends? Do you see where this goes? And here is Kristi Noem promoting it. By the way, she's on our team. I thought. What a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. Oh, man. Conservatives for hate crimes. Come on in, Clay. Good to see you. People have been asking me where you were. They're worried about you, Clay.
Yeah, thank you, everybody, for your prayers. And
I mean, Clay, has anybody called you? Anybody called you, Clay, or they just called me asking about you?
Yeah, that some people have called to check on me, and that's great, my brothers and sisters.
Good, amen.
Thanks for reading Matthew chapter 10, Coach. That's what's so great about this show. There's other great broadcasts out there like the Hagman Report, you know, but in this one, you bring the word to us as you go through your commentary, and it really means a lot. And in this chapter 10, one of the verses, just a couple of the verses that really mean a lot to me, is verse 14, where it says, "And whoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house, shake the dust off your feet." I think about you and Ohio Brett and people that go speak in a lot of places, because if you're rejected, to me, it's saying if you're rejected, you don't take that rejection with you. You even knock the dust off your feet when you go to the next location. Because if you take that rejection with you when you speak to the next person or the next people, you may not be as charismatic or joyful if you're carrying that rejection with you, and you may not bless them as much and lead them as much to Christ. You did your job in that last town. Now you shake that dust off and you move on.
That's right. That's right.
And then the other verse is 35 and 36. But 36 says, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. And a lot of the stuff I'm going through right now involves that kind of stuff. And to be able to look into the word and read it right there reassures me that you can be on the right track and have opposition in your own household. And that lifts you up to know. If it wasn't in that Bible, it just blesses us tremendously to be able to read it in the Bible. And then coming in here and you remind us of that in the mornings, it lifts up our day. Thank you, Coach.
Because Clay, Christianity is counterculture more than it's ever been. And what we know, it's a war. It's a spiritual war. And Clay, you know why you're having problems? You know why some of you guys are having problems? Because when you started to watch Coach Dave Live, whatever it was, you had a spiritual awakening. And you don't see things the way you used to see them. You have been enlightened. Your eyes have been opened. And the people around you, they just want the old Clay back. Clay, can we just get you back, Clay? Betty, come on, Betty. Can we get that old Betty back? Come on, can we? Right, folks? That's the battle. That's the battle. Because, see, your very presence convicts them. Can I tell you? Let me give you an example. I got this through, I heard from somebody else that a group of people who I used to fellowship with quite a bit don't invite me anymore. Because he'll just come in and he'll just start preaching. We don't want to do that. We just want to watch the game. We don't want to hear any of that preaching. And the truth of the matter is, I never once preached. It was my presence. You understand? It was the presence of the Holy Spirit in me that was convicting.
Amen.
And I would go. And I would purposely, in fact, Michelle and I have the discussion all the time with some family reunions and stuff. I say, listen, honey, I'm not going to go because I make everybody uncomfortable. I won't say a word, but I just make them uncomfortable. And I'm not going to put them through that. And I'm not going to put myself through that. I love them. I pray for them. I hope things work out for them. But I'm not going to put myself through that abuse, nor am I going to make them feel uncomfortable. And so we have to realize, folks, that when you step over that line and you start serving the Lord, you're going to lose some things. Oh, you're going to gain some stuff, but you're going to lose some things. Amen. Michelle, come on in. Good word, Clay.
Good morning. Good morning, team. So I guess I wanted, I have a question about what you read this morning, but I'll have to come back to that. What I wanted to say was about Christy Noem. And when I heard this legislation, you were talking about this hate speech stuff, I really started to get angry. My blood started boiling, the normal trigger reactions on this. But then, I was thinking about what is this really going on here? And, when you played that, it said coaches shortlist for VP or something like that along those lines. And remember, I remember when Trump was about to run for president, he had to go over to Israel and kiss the wall, just like my governor here in Florida, who wanted to put a bid in there for the presidency. He had to go to Israel.
You're not allowed to talk about that. You're not allowed to talk about that now.
Kiss the wall. You apparently do have to bow to Israel in order to be in the race. And I'm sorry to point that out, but if you think about it, it's absolutely true.
You anti-Semite, you bigot, you Jew.
No. See, I hate everybody, so it's okay.
Okay, that's better. I guess that's better. That's right. Well, you understand that's the defense, right? That's the water they throw on your face. That's the paint that they paint everybody with. Anybody who has the ability on their own to look and think, that's the bucket of paint they throw on the top of you. Oh, I want so much to read my commentary today, but I'm going to save it till tomorrow because I don't have time. Dave, come on. Dave or Sherry, come on in.
Well, Coach, you realize something, that through the Holy Spirit, you're raising the dead.
Amen, not, brother. Amen. Well said.
Not the physical dead, the spiritual dead. Yeah, in the kingdom, what's a greater deed If I raise someone physically from the dead, but they're still spiritually dead, I've really done nothing.
Amen.
But if I can raise the spiritual dead into the awareness that they need to come into, that is a great deed in the kingdom of God to the Holy Spirit.
Dave, I'm telling you, that is so well said. I am raising, the Holy Spirit through me is raising the spiritually dead. It's the truth, isn't it? If you look, if you've been watching this, been part of this for any length of time, you have to admit you change. You ain't the same person you used to be. And you have to also admit that the people around you notice it. And most of them don't like it. Can I get a thumbs up on that? Most of them. Okay. All right. Hang on. Hey, Spencer. It is Spencer this morning, isn't it? Spencer, go to YouTube and go look up for What About the Change. It's a YouTube video, What About the Change. I think it's Stephen Curtis Chapman. Yeah, the change. Play this, because friends, you keep hanging around, you're going to change. You hear me? You keep hanging around, you're going to change. Go ahead. Hang on, stop. I heard three times the Holy Spirit. Do it again. Find one with the lyrics, please. Find one with the lyrics. Just do another research and put lyrics and it'll pop up. come on. What about the change? Stephen Curtis. There you go. I'm sorry, folks. This is important. There's the lyrics. All right. I'm undergoing the change. Anybody else? I'm undergoing the change. Well, I got this way of thinking that comes so naturally. Well, I believe the whole world is revolving around me. And I got this way of living that I have to die to every single day. Cause if God's spirit lives inside of me, yeah, I'm gonna live life this. Amen. Okay, you can pull it down. We get it, right? We get it. Now keep going. What about the change? What about the difference? bring their clean heart and their right spirit within me, cast them all away from the presence, taking up the Holy Spirit, and the spore underneath the joy of my salvation, and uphold me in the name of the Lord. All right, you can shut it down. That's what you're dealing with, friends. That's what you're dealing with. You once were blind, and now you see. And the people around you loved you more when you were blind. And what? You're the light of the world, and they don't want light. People love darkness. They run to darkness. And when you walk into the room with the power of the Holy Spirit on you, you walk into a room, I'm going to tell you something, they feel that vibe.
Amen.
And they feel that Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit inside of you, permeates everything you do. And they don't know what to do with it.
Boom.
So they say, hey, God, would you quit watching Coach Dave? You're a part of a cult now, Betty. Clay, you're in a cult. You talk about that. You get up in the morning and you watch that guy, and then all you want to do is talk about sin and righteousness. And jeez, wish I could get the old Rochelle back. Amen? Yeah, that's good. Come on in, Denny.
I just want to say I agree with you. And, you know, the closer I get to the Lord, the less friends I have coming by the house. I guarantee you that.
That's because you're radioactive, Denny.
Well, it is that, you know, and I have two Bible studies I started in my house. One of them just men's and one with women. And I tell you what, I asked them just this last week. And I said, you know, do you feel convicted here? They said, we feel terrible convicted when we come into here for a Bible study. I said, have you ever, and they've all gone to church their entire life, all of them different churches. And I said, have you ever felt convicted in your church? They go, no. But you do here every time you come here. That's the Holy Spirit. The job of the Holy Spirit is to convict the heart.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Amen. And I don't tell people to come to church because they're going to feel better. I warn them, if you come to church, you're probably going to feel pretty bad. Huh? There's a change going on, huh? Yeah, Mike, you've lost many friends. Randy, come on in.
Coach, when I see something like what Christy Noem's doing, this just baffles me. But Coach, we're so dyed in the wool. Zion is taught. We don't even know at the church. We know that. But, Coach, what this makes me understand is this is all coming to a climax. The more they push this on us, the more God is going to, you know, the bigger, the greater the fall. And this is what has to come out, Coach. The only way this will come out is with the clash and the Zionism and holding up the Jews and, you know, saying they're God's people and not understanding what's truly biblical. That is the problem. But that has to go. Only way that'll go away is with a huge, huge clash, Coach. So this message today is so right on, Coach, because the persecution that we're going to face is going to be tremendous.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so you got me to do it. Pull up my News with Views. Pull it up real quick. I just got to, folks. I just got to, okay? I'm sorry. I'm not going to read the whole thing. What if you're wrong? That's the title of it. The Bible says that I believe it, and that settles it. I often hear that as a fallback position of many Christians when it comes to defending the truth. Sounds good and holy. And then always fly is truth. Bible says a lot of things which, when taken out of context, can be made to sound true. But sounding like truth and being the truth are not the same thing. Context is everything. Context is defined as the circumstances that form the setting for an event, statement, or an idea, and in terms of which it can be fully understood and assessed. So let me hang on here a minute. So when the J6ers went to Washington, D.C. and said, we're going to reclaim our country, they took the wrong context. The government took it out of context. The government said, well, that's guns and bombs and knives. No, 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 no. In context, reclaiming the government means we're going to take it back spiritually. See, taken out of context. See, the Luciferian left loves to take statements, something someone said, out of context, and then ascribe it to the statement of a meaning that was not at all what the person said. You with me? I didn't say that. Well, sure sounded like, well, they're taking it out of context. Coach is anti-Semitic. Why? Because I said that and you took it out of context. Okay, right? So context is, I said that. For instance, judge not is a statement that we often hear when we're pointing out where someone might be doing something that we believe to be wrong. Jesus never said not to judge. He said, be careful how you judge. And as a result, many Christians today believe that it's wrong to judge because the statement was taken out of context. So then I quote it, screw on down. Yes, Randy, change the context, you change the whole story. Jesus was referring to hypocritical judgment. In other words, to criticize someone while you're doing the same thing. Of course, we're not to judge. Of course, we are to judge. We do it all the time. In fact, you're judging what you're reading right now. Only a fool or a weak Christian doesn't judge. Be careful, for scripture, taken out of context, can make the scripture mean something that it does not actually say. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Huh? Boy, here's the list of Christian denominations. 45,000 of them. Pull that up and click on that real quick. You trust it or not? Here it is. 45,000 different Christian religions. 45, folks, not churches. Denominations. Look at them. Look at the denominations. 45,000 of them. Okay, go back. That's in the link. You can read it on your own. Oh, my goodness. Where am I? Remember your second grade math? Long division? Does anybody remember that? Numerator and denominator? Well, the denominator was the number by which the whole number was divided. Hence, Christian denominations are separate versions of Christianity. That'd be a good boom. They're different versions of Christianity, right? See, the 44,000 denominations all profess to be Christians, yet they denominate. They divide over what the Bible says. That's how we end up with Catholics and Lutherans and Baptists and Methodists, Presbyterians, Pentecostals. They don't agree on what the Bible says. Some things in the Bible are not clear and are open to interpretation. Baptism, communion, gifts of the Spirit, functions of the church, role of the Holy Spirit, healing, tongues, feasts, end times, all of the issues that Christians divide over. Check this site out. Click on that one real quick. I'm sorry to do this. It's too good. Look at this, the ultimate guide to Christian denominations and types of beliefs. Scroll down through that and explain. Oh, my goodness, this is so good, right? Look at that. What they all believe. Oh, get back. I get back and finish. Right? What's the title of it? Well, yet every denomination can show you why they believe the truth. They all read the same Bible but disagree on what it actually teaches. Hence, the Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it, is not the truth. All Christian denominations are part of the Christian religion. Religion is simply a belief in the supernatural God. Theology is the great divider. Ology is defined as the study of. Well, theos means God. So theology is simply the study of God. But see, denominations are the problem. Paul warned us, foolish and unlearned questions avoid, for they do gender strifes. Division within the body of Christ, because strifes are hindering the advancement of the gospel. Prophet Amos asks us a very simple question. Can two walk together unless they agree? Much of what you and I have been taught is mere speculation based on the opinions of men. Now, think about this a second. Matthew Henry's commentaries. We've all read them. It's all good. But would you agree with me that those are Matthew Henry's interpretations? Is he right? How about Darby, John Darby, John Nelson Darby? Read his stuff. Well, that's good, but that's his interpretation, isn't it? So I want to read this because I tip my cap to all of you here. Much of what you've been taught is speculation based on the opinions of men. I host a daily podcast where we openly discuss these things that we believe. There are no sacred cows. We ask the question, who told you some of the things you believe? And why have you not investigated it more deeply? For instance, who are the Jews? Are they God's chosen people? Is there anyone in heaven today? Did speaking in tongues cease? Are we supposed to always obey the government? Does God love everybody? What do Christians do? Once saved, always saved? Is there a rapture of the church? Is God pro-choice? What we find out often shocks us. Nothing's too sacred to discuss, and after 2,118 weekly broadcasts, most of us are still friends. Believe it or not, we still like each other, right? Who taught you what you believe? Where did you learn it? Have you always been in the same denomination your whole life? If the Bible says it and you believe it and that settles it, where did you, why aren't some of these issues settled? Where did your pastor learn what he's teaching you? Aren't you curious? Is there any wonder American church is so divided? Heck, we can't even get the Christians to agree on what's true. Jesus warned us if the blind lead to the blind, they both end up in a ditch. I say it's time to start digging our way out. Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. Evidently, some folks who claim to be following Jesus are missing the boat. What is truth? It's what Pontius Pilate asked Jesus on the night he was sentencing to death. What is truth? Jesus never replied. Pilate was looking into the face of the incarnation of truth, and he was unable to recognize it. Folks, can you recognize truth? Ronald Reagan exhorted us to trust but verify. It's a good axiom for the politics. Wouldn't it be an even more imperative for the things of the Spirit? Are you content to blindly follow what the hireling in the pulpit tells you? Are you sure that other denominations got it wrong? Only the truth makes us free, Jesus told us. Doesn't truth matter to you? Are you comfortable believing things that are not true? Is it possible that some of the things your church teaches isn't the truth? Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, warned us that evil men have crept in unawares and changed the truth of God into a lie. Crept in where? What did they change? How do we recognize the imposters? Interesting questions, isn't it? I was taught from an early age that Mary was ever virgin. Anybody else taught that? Ever virgin Mary. But a reading of the Bible shows Jesus had siblings. What? How can that be? Is somebody pulling my leg? Check it out. Pull it up real quick. Man, we're running out of time. Check this out. Come on, Spence. Did Jesus have siblings? Yes, he did. Scroll down. He had it. Let's stay right there. Stay right there. Stay at the top. I'm sorry. Yes, Jesus had at least four named brothers and presumably two or more unnamed sisters. You guys know that? Ever virgin, I thought. That's what they taught me. Go back. Bible says it. I believe it. But I'm telling you, it's far from settled. We all need to study to show thyself approved. Broad is the way, narrow is the gate, many come, few find it. What if what you have been taught is not true? Are you okay with that? Only the truth will make you free. One God, 45,000 denominations. Trust but verify. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty good. You want to keep believing something that's not true? Did you ever, how about this? Hang on. Oh, I'm about done, run out of time. Did you ever start to talk to somebody about the shots, about people dying from shots? And he said, and what do they all say to you? What do they all say to you? Where did you hear that? Huh? Where'd you hear that? Oh, once saved, always saved. Oh, where'd you hear that? God's okay with homosexuals. Where'd you hear that? How come we never ask these questions? How come we just blindly believe the guy standing in the pulpit? The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, make you free. Thanks for being here today, man. Appreciate you guys more than you know. See ya.